We're going to allow the Spirit of God room to move in our lives, or else die. If we don't give the Spirit of God room to move in our lives, we become brittle people full of death rather than full of life. We need to give the Holy Spirit room in our lives, don't we? Room in our lives, room in our congregation, room in our service to do what He wants to do. How many came this morning to meet with Jesus? How many came this morning to have an experience of growth in the Lord? To come to look at Him face to face and say, okay, Lord, do Your will in my life, change me today. How many came to just be comfortable? Oh, yeah, wrong church, sorry. All right, we've had our maps out. If you remember your map from last week, after they left in the book of Acts where they were, it finally became bad enough in Acts 14 that they had to move on down the road. And now this morning, we are in Lystra. Can you say with me, Lystra? Looks like Lystra. It's actually pronounced Lustra, but that's a city there that they end up in. And we're going to take a few minutes together this morning to take a look at the Word of God and see what happened when they let the Spirit of God be free to do what He wanted to do. You're going to see a distinct moving of the Spirit this morning in the Scriptures. Again, I'm asking you, how many came to receive the Spirit of God moving in a fresh way? How many came to give and to receive? How many came to be alive in the Lord? Lord, do Your will in a fresh way today. Move. Now, the name of this message, as we're on Acts Alive, Part 34, is Let God Be God for You. Let God be God for you. We've talked about truth, we've talked about freedom, we've talked about never giving up. But the issue that's before us this morning, or at least one of them, is how are you and I, how are you committed to living? Are you committed to living by feelings? Are you committed to living to a demand that people come true and treat you just right? Oh, I didn't mean to get uncomfortable right away. Or is religion good enough for you once a week? Okay, I didn't hear any amens. Good. Don't challenge my status quo, because I'm comfortable there. I'm looking for a church in which I can be comfortable. Oh boy, you're all frowning at me. That's not this church. No, it's if you are comfortable in an atmosphere of the moving of the Spirit in your life, if your comfort zone is one of growth, if your comfort zone is one of, okay, Lord, have Your way in my life, change me, then we've got a great zone to be in, don't we? That's the kind of zone I want to be in, don't you? Let's worship the Lord together, keep moving and keep growing. Did you come if you needed healing, wanting to be healed? Did you come if you need help, wanting to be helped? Do you want to grow? Do you see a need? Do you want Jesus and His family to meet that need? Okay, now I'm going to say something real simple, and I hope it doesn't describe anyone in this room, because I'm not trying to. But let me just make a clear point with you. If you do not see a need in your life for Jesus, then one of the most important reasons why someone like that goes to church is for social reasons. Do you know what happens when you go to church just for social reasons? You know what happens? Your meter's running. You know what I'm saying? Your meter's running. The message goes a little long. Meter's getting awfully high. Be patient with me this morning. I've only got a 2-hour message. If it gets a little uncomfortable, the meter gets a little high. And then what happens is when the meter gets high enough, you move your car on down the road, and the meter's running there. Now, the issue of growth in the Lord is not a meter running. There is no meter. The issue of growth in the Lord is, you know, I want my engine to run as good as it can in this car. I want the best fuel I can get. I want the best octane, the best oil. I want my engine tuned. I developed a knock this week. I got to get rid of the knocking. Right? I got a loose belt. Okay. Or my engine's tuned and I want it to be that much better. I want to have high octane fuel. I want the Word of God in me. That's not a metered car that's running. That's a car that came to get fresh life. How did you come? How did you come? I'm not demonstrable. That's okay, God is. I'm not loud. That's okay, sometimes God is. I don't have to make a big deal out of things. That's okay, God does. Let God be God for you. Now, I have something to say to you, and I'm really proud of you all this morning. I'm really, how do you say that? It's the wrong word. I'm really pleased on your behalf. You all got up and came to church. I don't mean that silly. Let me tell you why, because you're going to see in the scripture that you have to do something to make yourself available for God to move upon. You have to get up and do something to express your need, to express your desire. You got to get up out of where you're at and say, I need Jesus. Now, if you'll think with me, okay, let's just do a little thought process together. Outside of, is it Jairus' daughter? Outside of the man whose daughter needed to be healed, and outside of Paul sending prayer handkerchiefs, you know, cloths out to people, I don't know if I can recall a time in the New Testament where Jesus healed people when they weren't present there with him. Can you? Maybe there is, but as I was thinking about it this morning, those are the only two illustrations I could think of. The man comes, says, my daughter needs healing, and Jesus speaks the word, and bang, it's done. It was done in that hour. You recall the scripture. Paul prayed over prayer and fast. They went out and people were healed. I'm sure it happened, but our testimony in the Word of God, and look, folks, we build our lives on the preponderance of Scripture. What does the overwhelming amount of Scripture show us? What's the Bible teach us? And what the Bible teaches us is that the people of God had a hunger and a desire in their spirits to gather to Jesus, to gather together, so they got together. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, don't deny the gathering together of the saints. How are you going to get ministered to by Jesus unless there's a major medical issue? How are you going to get ministered to by Jesus when you don't come to the house of God? I want to be where the Spirit is moving. So God, I want to be in the river. How many want to jump in the river this morning? I want to swim in the river of the Spirit of God. Don't you? You know, you go to the Old Testament and the water starts flowing and it's ankle deep and then it's knee deep and pretty soon it's waist high and pretty soon you got to swim. And that's the river I want to flow in. I want the Spirit of God to move and I'll just go where you go, Lord. Isn't that what you want? So let the Spirit of God move. But how are you going to do that if you're not in the house of God? Okay. Of course, if you're on occasions with your family and you're away or whatever, that doesn't mean Jesus packed his bags and moved out on you overnight. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying when you've got the choice, when you've got, if you've got the time, he's got the Spirit. If you'll take time, but you have to present yourself to a place of the moving of the Spirit. Are y'all tracking with me?
Yeah.
Say amen.
Yeah.
Amen, Pastor Ken. God, here we are. We've gathered together to your house as friends, as family. It's good to see everybody again. I love y'all. Social's fun, too. I like all that. But why did we get together this morning? Because we want to see Jesus. We want him to do something in our lives. I want to leave this place today, not just hot, but changed. More like him. Amen? All right, let's go on. Let's see how it unfolds this morning. Someone took effort, got up, went to church. Acts 14 is where we're going to go. And we're going to refer back to verse 7. Actually, verse 6, and we'll go through verse 10 here in this section. Remember, in light of what I was just saying, remember when the four friends carried their ailing friend on a mat to Jesus? Remember? Those guys, that man and those people were so hungry for a meeting with Jesus, they started tearing apart the guy's roof where Jesus was preaching. How'd you like that in your house? What are you doing in my house? I'm hungry for Jesus. I need him. All right, we'll repair the roof later, but we're going to repair your life now. It's fantastic. It's powerful. God wants you to admit you have a need, take a step to do something about it. I'm not trying to waste time here. I do have something to say that I think is really important. But I think that we ought to all be sensitive to the Lord and minister to others as we have opportunity and as the Lord puts something on our spirit. But as your pastor, when someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I want you to pray for Aunt Matilda. I'm happy to pray for Aunt Matilda. I want you to go deliver Aunt Matilda. I want you to go to Aunt Matilda's house. Well, let me tell you something. If Aunt Matilda isn't interested in me coming to her house, and if Aunt Matilda doesn't have as much desire as you do for her to be delivered, my prayers aren't going to do a whole lot for Aunt Matilda. I'm ministering especially to the people that get up and run after the Lord together. I'm here to minister to anybody and pray for anybody, no question. But you presented yourself to the house of God this morning and in God's house and with God's people. Who do you think right now is my priority? I'm not thinking of Aunt Matilda. I'm thinking of you. How can I help you? Because you've taken time to get up and come in the house of God. Does that make any sense to you at all? All right, church. Let's go to the scriptures, Acts chapter 14. There's something you have to do to connect to Jesus, the healer. There's something you need to do to bring your need to the one who can meet it. Let's pick up on verse 6, the tail end of the verses we did last week. Acts 14, verse 6. They became aware of it. What was it? That there was going to be a violent confrontation of them. They became aware of it and fled to Lystra, to Derbe, to regions of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the gospel there. And in, say the word with me, Lystra, or Lustra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting. A cripple. From where? His mother's womb. I'm reading from the New King James. I'm in verse 8. A certain man without strength in his feet was sitting. A cripple from his mother's womb. Who had, please finish the phrase with me, who had never walked. Powerful. This man, verse 9, heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Just quite a little service that day in church. Just quite a little gathering. Formal occasion. Just rang a few bells, sat down, said a word of prayer, and went out the door. No. They gave room for the Spirit of God. Did you see that in that verse? What do you see here? What do you see here? Now Lystra, let's talk about it for a moment. Lystra is a town of Lycaonia, where they have refrigerators on their way out. Thank you. Now, that was, we haven't heard it for ages. Yes, okay. Is the Lord saying something? Lystra was healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Okay, Lystra, a town in Lycaonia, in Asia Minor. Now, the one thing I want you to know about this little town, it was considered to be in a wild district and among a very rude population. Sound like America, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Sounds like anywhere around the world. All right, let's begin. Let's take a few thoughts in this section. How to let God be God for you. Number one, this is a certain man. Why is that important? This is a certain man. Say with me, a certain man. All right, doesn't have a name. Could be any man. Could be any woman. Could be you. Could be me. In fact, it's a gift to us from this passage that this person is not further identified. Because then you could get up with people like me who like to dig out the past and the history and the culture, and we could find out who this man was. And I could tell you about his story. I could tell you about his life. I might be able to tell you the good deeds he did. And after all, because he's a good man in a rude territory, he's worthy for God to heal. I might be able to tell you a whole story about he built a synagogue and he did all sorts of great things. After all, he was a good man. Isn't this the kind of man that Jesus should heal? Come on, say amen or oh no, and I hope you say oh no. We don't know enough about this man's pedigree. We don't know enough about this man's good deed. And that's the point. A certain man, just like you, just like me, a man or a woman who just plain has a need. Then you come to church this morning because you have a need for Jesus. I did. A certain man. I think it's a gift that there's not further identification here. Because he's a man or a woman just like you or me. Now, we know that Timothy probably was born in this town, so there are good people. But this is a rude population. How many of you understand? Anybody in this room, don't raise your hand. Just look up at me with wide eyes if it describes you. Ever been rude? It doesn't matter if you're mean, rude, sweet and genteel. We're all here because we need Jesus. And Jesus meets those kinds of people. Could be anybody. Jesus reaches people one at a time. The Spirit of God was moving here this morning in each life that gave him room to move. We might have a big crowd, we might have a small crowd, but he ministers to each one. You know, it's even better that it's not a great city. It's great that this isn't Antioch. It's great that this isn't Jerusalem. It's great that it's not Tel Aviv, which wasn't around then. See, that, so that's great. Joppa was. There you go. Simon the Tanner was in Joppa. Anyway, it's great because this man isn't healed because he was a certain citizen of Rome, or he didn't have any pedigree that deserved it. He didn't have a good enough education. We don't know that. Because it doesn't matter. Jesus sees you. He sees me. Just as we are. He sees you in your need. All right, let's see the next part. He was impotent at his feet, the King James said. He was crippled. This man never walked. Say, never walked. The Greek word for impotent is adunatos, adunatos. And it means he was unable, and passively, it literally means it was impossible for this man to physically, tangibly walk. Now, where was he impotent? Where? In his feet. What do the feet do? They provide you a solid foundation. They give you the ability to move. They give you the liberty to have a solid foundation on which to walk, the right support, the right strength. This man couldn't do it. The King James word, he was a cripple from that time, and that's not a politically correct word to use nowadays, but it had a definite meaning. The Greek word is kolos, kolos, and it is to be halt or limping. This man was never able to walk right. Anybody in this room ever feel like I've never been able to get it all together? I've never quite had it right. I've never quite been able to walk it right. I've never walked. I don't get the right steps. I don't get them in the right order. I don't have the right kind of strength. My ankles aren't strong enough. My life's not strong enough. I can't do it on my own. I've never been able to put life together. The Greek word udeptoi means not even at any time, not at all. Could this man put strength to these feet? He didn't start off good and blew it. He didn't get used to it and then miss it. This man, can you imagine watching people all his life walk by him? Can you imagine him longing, wanting to walk, desiring to, never able to? Anybody in this room ever thought things would go like this? Some people are just always blessed. Some people just always seem to walk it right, do it right. They're just always blessed. How come I'm sincere. I just can't seem to walk it right. Jesus can help even you. Jesus can help and heal those who have fallen and don't feel like they can get up. And those who have never been able to walk it quite right. Now this man somehow got himself to the house of God. Church, That's not condemnation when we're out of town, on vacation, ill. But if we say it doesn't matter to go to the house of God, then we have concluded that we are not needy and we don't need Jesus to help us. There's not humility in that. This man knew his need and got himself to the house of God. Is that what you do on Sunday morning? Is that why you're here? You got up and said, I need to go to church. Did you look at your wife or your husband and say, you need to go to church? You're needy. All right, he presented himself. But this guy just could never watch. He couldn't get it quite right. Are you with me? Do you understand what's going on in this guy's life? All right, number three, simple. What did he do? He heard Paul speak. Well, that's not complex. If it's up to you and your works to get it all right, the work isn't any bigger than this. He heard Paul speak. Wow. I think anybody can handle that, couldn't you? Unless he's speaking all night and you fall out of a window and die like one guy did. It just goes on too long. All right, but he heard Paul speak. That means to give an audience to. To understand, he heard Paul. All right, anybody ever been in a conversation and you're saying something to somebody and that other person looks at you and goes, I hear you. I hear you, brother. Back to the 60s, I hear you. All right, but what is that saying? Does it say, I hear an auditory signal floating through the air and it came and I found my ear canal and it went in there until it got caught in the wax? Is that what that means? Yeah. No, but it means it didn't stop there. It didn't lodge in the wax. It managed to work its way down into my heart and into my mind. I hear you. I hear you. Here's a man who had never walked. Here's a man full of need. Here's a man who got up and did something with his need. He was humble enough to say, I need help, and I'm going to find myself in a place where I can get some help. How many of you understand pastors aren't mind readers? They don't know you're sitting out there needing help unless you let them know, right? Right? Are you a mind reader? No. What happened there for her? She got up and it went. You may think I'm laboring a point. I think it's crucial. You present yourself for Jesus to move on. How many want Jesus to move on their lives today? You have presented yourself to the house of God. Admitted he had a need. I can't get it right. And then what happened? He listened. And he heard. The Spirit of God began to move in his life, began to speak to him. How many understand while the pastor's preaching, the Spirit may be preaching a different message inside of you? That doesn't mean you tune out. That's my little word for those of you who may be tuning out. Don't do that. It means the Spirit of God is at work inside. Maybe this point for you and this point for someone else, but the Holy Spirit is moving on every person's life here today. And God can do that with others who listen to messages later, but there is something to being able to come together and let the Spirit move. He heard Paul speak. He gave him an audience. He didn't just hear, but he really heard. He heard inside. That word heard means to be listening, to be heard, listen to, receive, to understand. The word ekion, it literally means, here's what it literally means when it says he heard Paul. He really perked up and paid attention. Turn to each other and say, perk up now. Perk up now. Perk up. He listened. He paid attention. And he kept on listening. That's what this word means. He listened and he kept listening and he kept listening and he was given some attention because he had a need in his life. He'd never been able to walk. And all of a sudden, something began to move inside as the Spirit began to speak to him. And the Holy Spirit inside of him began to maybe move and give this man a little hope. There's something different here. This isn't church just like normal. God's got something to say. And he's saying it in my heart. He's saying it in my spirit. Oh, God. And maybe a little bit of rumble of hope began. Inside, and you go, oh God, is there an answer for me today? My life's been a mess. My life's been a wreck. Oh God, won't you do something in my life today? I need you. I've got to have your moving in my spirit, or I might as well just go back to bed. do something, oh God. This man began to listen. As Paul's words began to come out, the Holy Spirit's doing something inside. Maybe he's speaking to you this morning and saying, God's got your answer. God's got your answer. Jesus has an answer for you. Don't give up. You don't know. Maybe it's coming this afternoon. Maybe it's coming tomorrow. Maybe it's coming Tuesday. But Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he kept going. And something begins to rumble inside. Oh, God, move in my life. I don't want to just be hard, brittle clay. Make me tender of spirit and move on my life today. And this man listened. He kept on listening. Ever had a time like that where those hot tears ran down your cheeks and you knew the Holy Spirit was speaking to your heart and God was doing something fresh and you know that God's got something for you? Jesus speaking to your heart today? Do you want to stay in the comfort zone or do you want to grow beyond it? Do you want your comfort zone not to be old status quo, but to be comfortable with the ever-changing wind of the blowing of the Spirit of God in your life? Is it your morning to meet with Jesus face to face? Is it your morning to have more than just church, but a meeting with God? Next, Paul saw this man paying attention. Paul looked, and he saw this man perk up. He beheld him steadfastly beholding him. Paul perceived there was faith in this man to be healed. That's what the Bible says. All right, very simple stuff, folks. A needy man came to church, listened to Paul preach, and the Spirit began to move inside his heart, and he perks up. And Paul, as the preacher, beholds him intently and perceives something deeper is going on here. The Spirit is moving. God's doing something. I don't want to just do church as usual. Oh, God, if you're doing something, I want to be in on it. And Paul perceives it. The Greek word atenzineo, atenzizo, actually, and it means to stretch, to gaze intently. Paul began to behold, gaze at this man intently. He began to see the Spirit of God moving on this man. And you can see the Spirit of God moving in a life. And he began to study it, and he saw it, and he was preaching along, and his words were probably still coming out of his mouth, but something was inside of his heart, and he knew God is here to do something in this man's life today. Takes an obedient man, certain man. Takes an obedient Paul to pay attention to the Spirit. He paid attention. The Holy Spirit's moving. Now, he perceived. That word perceived is the word eido. The Greek word is eido. It means he was aware, he was sure, he could tell, he could understand. Why is that important? What did Paul's eyes have to see? What did he understand? That this man had faith to be healed. Abraham believed God, the father of our faith. Thank you, Pastor Sherry. It's given a platform and foundation for the entire message because God ties all things together if we're listening. But there was a faith that believed God. Persuasion, credence, moral conviction, the Greek word pistis, and it means literally, I am convinced of something. What was he convinced? Hey, Jesus can heal me. Jesus can minister to me. Jesus has the answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Amen, church? The old song still rings true. People need help. Men and women have needs. There's heart anguish, and some have never walked. But as you listen to the Word of God, why do we preach the Word of God? For a multitude of reasons. To be built up in the Lord, to grow, to see Him, to be changed, but also to let your heart faith quicken. Oh God, you can do something for me like you did for this man. It's not just words on a page for the book of Acts, but it's words for my life today. Oh, God, do something in my life. He had faith to be healed, the Greek word sozo, and that means to be safe, to come to safe harbor, to deliver and protect. This man, just by listening to God, made himself available for God, and all of a sudden, something in his heart begins to ring and to resound, and inside his spirit is saying, oh, man, Jesus can heal me. Jesus can deliver me. Jesus has my answers. Jesus knows my need. I may not have spoken to anybody in church this morning, but Jesus knows right where I am, and he knows how to get to the root of the need. Oh, Jesus wants to do it. Can you just imagine this man sitting here going, oh, Paul, shut up, quit preaching, pray for me. Look, is Jesus worth being passionate about or not? Okay, I admit it. I'm not a good denominational quiet man. Are you excited about these things, all right? But Jesus was knowing. This man believed Jesus could help him. Oh, God, won't you do it? Church, do you believe Jesus can help you this morning? There's your question. You, right here, sitting in those green chairs or white plastic, do you believe Jesus knows you and sees your need and can help you right now, right here, this morning? Do you believe it? Is there humility to admit your need? Some people, after a while, conclude, why aren't they meeting my need? I want you to know they probably don't know about your need, but you do. Hungry people eat. The issue isn't, are they meeting your need? The issue is, are you eating? Simple. A certain man came to church. Listened to Paul. Paul listened to the Spirit. And then they both obeyed God. Simple message. Paul obeyed God. I feel good because this next phrase said, and Paul said with a loud voice. Makes me feel great here this morning. You know what the Greek literally is for loud voice? I love this. Megas phone. Sounds like you speaking right into a megaphone, didn't it? Whoa, I love it. I got to enjoy Paul that way. Well, he's my kind of guy. Paul took a risk. Paul watched God move. He watched a man. He watched a certain person pay attention to God. And he saw a certain heart begin to respond to faith, to receive something. And Paul perceived something deeper going on. And he didn't worry about what the crowd thought. Well, maybe people here don't like worship freely like this. Hey, guess what? We're just going to keep worshiping him anyway. And we're going to bring everybody who doesn't like it right along if they want to come. Right? Say it better. Oh, no. I heard the right response. Paul didn't worry about what that man or that woman thought. Paul didn't worry about the family that came in with him. I always loved it. And Billy Graham crusade, you know, I get saved every time he preaches, you know. They start singing the song just as I am. I'm going, oh, yeah, oh, to you. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart. I always loved it. Billy Graham's got these stadiums packed out. And if you're involved in administration at all, I mean, you got to be thinking, how are they doing this? The administration, how many ushers are here? Then you don't think about that. You just listen to Billy. But I'm sitting there going, how many ushers do you think they have? How are they getting them there? And how, what? And I love it. Billy Graham looked at everybody all the time. You remember this. He looks, he says, you come on down. Your family, whoever you came with, they'll just stay. They'll wait for you. And people sitting next to the person getting saved probably thought, I will. Well, yeah, okay, I have to. Paul didn't worry about the family that came in with this man. You know what the family could have thought, don't you? Well-meaning family. Paul speaks to this man out in front of everybody. And well-meaning, well-intentioned, loving family members could have looked and said, why are you so insensitive, preacher? Don't you know this man's never walked? Because you know what Paul said with a loud voice, don't you? Get out! Stand up. Rise up. Wise up and walk. Rise up and walk. Wait a minute. This is my baby. My baby's never been able to walk. There's no ankle strength. There's no feet strength. And they may all be connected, but they don't connect. Come on. Get off his case, preacher. and said to the preacher, I asked you to come and pray and you didn't do it. You didn't do it the way I wanted you to do it. No, Paul did it the way the Spirit said to do it. How many of you like, as a pastor, you try to be sensitive to Jesus and obey the Lord, and some people want you to do it some way, and you just got to obey the Lord. How many like it? You could see it right in the scripture, can't you? When his friend Lazarus dies, and the sisters, both of them said the same thing. It's kind of humorous, unless you were Jesus. He was kind of on the hot seat. But it's kind of humorous. Sister, one runs up to him when the Lord, he took 2 days to walk an hour. I think he's only about an hour away. Took 2 days to get there. Lazarus dies. First sister runs up to him and says, we all think it reads sweet, but here's what it says. Lord, my brother wouldn't have died if you'd come. Nice to see you too, honey. Then the other sister, Martha's done that first. Then Mary comes running up. Oh, and people go out and they get Mary. Jesus is here. Can you imagine what's going off inside? Well, if he'd just come earlier, we wouldn't be going through this whole mess. Jesus is trying to be sensitive to the Lord and to his Father, and what did he say? I got to do what the Father says to do, and tells his disciples, this is a humorous story, and I don't want to get lost in it, but it is a humorous story. He turns to his disciples and says, hey guys, Lazarus is asleep. And they all sit around, yeah, that's good, he's sleeping, good, good, Mary. Doesn't that feel like you and me? Oh, okay, Lord, that sounds good, that's just like how I'd respond. Sounds good. Yeah, okay. And Jesus looks at him and goes, come on, guys, I'm trying to tell the guy's dead. Oh, okay. But he didn't run right away to do just what they wanted him to do. It was for a bigger purpose, to glorify God. So Martha runs up, Mary runs up, says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would have not died. Says, I know. But then he brings healing. God sees you. Maybe he doesn't do it in your timing. Maybe he doesn't do it in your way. But he sees you. He knows you. And he knows right where to minister to you. Abraham, what? Believed God. How many of you think Abraham didn't always have everything come through just like that when he wanted to see some answers? How many just think that might have happened? We know, don't we? See, we really do want God to come through. And I don't mean, it's not the lack of the love of the Lord when he doesn't do just what we want him to do. Sometimes he's just plain teaching us. It's not easy. Come on, church. Have you ever had a desire for something to happen so much and longed for an answer to prayer so much and just God's out lollygagging around somewhere? Come on, ever felt like God? You ever like me? Yeah. Where'd you go? He's saying, I'm right here, honey. Well, do something. And he looks at he goes, I am in you. Well, that's not what I mean. Okay, don't do that. Do this. God knows. But this guy's family could have been all upset. Everybody he came with could have been upset. This guy's never walked. He doesn't have the strength. And Paul looks at him with a loud voice and says, stand up straight on your feet. That took risk. That took obedience. That took perception and obeying it. And the Bible literally says he said it loud enough just as if he had a megaphone in his voice. Out it comes. He stopped everything, interrupted everything to obey the Spirit. This certain man could have said, I don't do that kind of thing. But God does. I'm not demonstrable. God is. I'm not loud. God gets you there sometimes. Stand. Anistomai. Stand up. Stand up. Rise up. Get out of what you've been sitting in. Get out of what your past has been. Get out of your habit. Get out of your routine. Get out of what you're used to doing. Get out of the old comfort zone. Get up. And the upright word literally means orthos. It means rising up, standing up perpendicular, erect, and stand up. You've never put strength to those feet before, but the Spirit is here to help you do it. Get up out of the mud and grubs. It's time to go on. It's time to be healed. It's time to let the Spirit of God move in your life. But I can't do it. No, but God can. I never have. Well, God does. I don't know how. God does. I'm not that way. God is. Church, will you let God be God for you? Do you have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to respond? Will you obey Him? Will you let Him move on your spirit? Do you need Him this morning? Do you need Jesus? And will you allow Him to minister to your life? Maybe you look at me and say, I've never had it together. I can't get this walk right with the Lord. I need new foundation, and Jesus is here to pop you on it. Jesus is here to strengthen you and heal you. Maybe you're here with a physical affliction, and Jesus is here to strengthen and to deliver. The man collapsed. What do you mean, rise up and walk? Ah, you're dumb. Don't you see I can't? The man could have left. The man could have been offended. Preacher, you don't know how to minister it right the way I want you to, but Jesus knows exactly how to minister to the need. Paul obeyed. Guess what the man did? Who can tell me? He obeyed. It's not real complex this morning, is it? Certain man with a need presented himself for an answer to the need, came to church, and he listened to Paul, and Paul listened to the Spirit, and Paul obeyed, and this certain man obeyed. The Bible tells us, what does it say? What does it say? What does it say? Come on, who can get there first? Verse 9, this man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently, seeing that faith to be healed. Verse 10, said with a loud voice, what did he say? Stand up, come on church, preach it with me here. This is your time to be loud. You can do it. You can even do a lot in that. You did real good, though. Okay, do it again. Verse 10 said with a loud voice. Wow! Isn't that cool? What did he say? He said, stand up! Come on, church, shout it out with me. Stand up! Wow! What did he say? Stand up! What did he do? He stood up. He leapt. He walked. He went running and leaping. And he went praising God, but because the Spirit of God was there to move on him. And he said, God, there's a rumbling going on inside, and I know you want to do something. And oh, God, and that literally in the Greek, it means he gushed up. He jumped up. He gushed up figuratively just to gush out. Oh, God, I believe you. Come on, say it out loud with me. Oh, God, I believe you. Let it gush out. Say it one more time, and I don't care where they hear you. Oh, God, I believe you. The Bible says he walked, and that's peripateo. He treaded all around. He had never put any strength to those feet before. And all of a sudden, this man's walking, and he's running, and he's gushing, and he believes God and stood up. Church, do you believe God knows you this morning? Does he know you? Does he know your need? Do you have a need in your life? Are you humble enough to admit it? Maybe he hasn't come true before, but the Spirit of God is here this morning. The Spirit of God is here right now. What are you going to do? Pastor Kevin put me on the spot. No, man. The Spirit, right? I believe Jesus is here to minister to you, shouting all aside, God knows you, you certain men and women. He knows your need. And the Spirit of God brought you this morning. How many of you think it's just your own little decision? You just got up and said, I'm going to church. You think that's by accident? The Holy Spirit brought you. He's here to minister to you. And Paul said, stand up. Let's do it, church. Stand up. Stand up. And the man stood up. And he gushed and he walked. You got to make yourself available. You got to know your need. You got to pay attention to God. You got to listen. You got to obey. You got to receive. How many of you want to receive something from Jesus this morning? Come on, don't be too proud to be too loud. How many want to receive something from the Lord? I want you to raise your hands. Raise your hands and tell Jesus what you need from him this morning. Go ahead, preach it out loud. It's all right. Nobody's going to pay attention. Lord, we need you to move by your Spirit. Move in healing power. Move in strengthening. Body, soul, and spirit of God. Move by your Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name. Move over your people. We believe you give strength to the legs and strength where we couldn't rise up before. We can rise up now where we couldn't walk before. You want to heal us so we can walk. Now in the name of Jesus, we declare, be healed in the name of the Lord. Be healed in the name of the Lord. Be healed in the name of the Lord. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to walk around. I want you to lay hands on each other. And I want you to pray and impart the healing power of Jesus. Because it wasn't just Paul, it was the Holy Spirit. There are people in this room who need healing. I want you to go up to each other where they want healing. If they don't want you to come lay hands on them, it's all right. But raise your hand if you need a touch in your body this morning by Jesus. If you need healing power, I want you to raise your hands and others around them. I want you to go up and I want you to pray for them. It's a ministry in the body of Christ. Go ahead. There are several with hands raised. Go ahead. Go ahead. Reach out to each other. Pray for each other. Be dynamic in that prayer this morning. Let it go. Yes, Lord, we believe you. We believe you. We believe you. Do it, oh God. The Spirit of God is moving. Anybody have anything to share? God's done anything for you right now? All right, and we're going to continue to believe God. You, when you reach out in fellowship with each other this morning, remember, as you lay hands on people, you're imparting the Spirit of the Lord. God is good. When we go out from here today, we go out into the mission field where there are needy people, men and women, who need Jesus. So if you still need prayer for healing, come on up. We're going to lay hands on you. We're going to believe God for you. If you are here this morning, you've never given your life to Jesus, we'd be honored to pray with you. If you need to talk and give something up to the Lord and you want to pray together, we'd be honored to do that too. Fellowship with one another and rejoice in the Spirit of God together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. Amen.